Amen, amen. Welcome everybody here to True Life Church today. All of those watching online, we welcome you here. If you're a first-time visitor, we're so glad that you came here today. I'm Pastor Perry, one of the ministers here on staff, and it is always an honor to step up here and to share the Word of God with you today. And this new series, Jesus Is, and it's going to take us all the way through till Easter. I don't know about you, I was in a store yesterday and everything was Easter bunnies and chocolate and all the other stuff that pretty soon I'm going to do without. But it's going to be on top of us before we know it. Easter will be here. So start inviting, start getting people to come with you. We want to see this place packed out that day. And we want to win as many as we can to Jesus Christ. Jesus Is. That's a broad topic, and we'll never cover all of it in the weeks here, but hopefully today I'll be able to just start to lay the foundation. I did just want to just kind of put a little bug in here about a couple of things here. If you're not aware, we have a new ministry going here, a church within a church, we call it, and that is Recovery Church on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. And if you or someone you know is struggling with any kind of addiction and they're looking for sobriety, they're looking for victory, it is a 12-step program, but it's a church service. We worship God, we have testimonies, we have praise time, and it's a church service. But if you know of somebody, and most all of us know of somebody, or maybe you're struggling with it, then please, please talk to me about it. Come out Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. And right now we're meeting in the Life Track room, but we're almost too many of us in there. We're soon going to have to move to a bigger space. But Tuesday night, and there are also some cards out there on the information desk. You can hand those out to your friends, and it just tells what's going on with True Life Church. Also, I'm just throwing that bug out there again. Pretty soon we're going to announce the fall trip to Africa. And if you're interested in being in that missions trip or supporting that trip, then let me know. We're going to have an information day real soon talking about that. So let's get ready to jump right into the lesson today. Jesus Is. And my topic is, Jesus is the Son of Man. And in all of my 40 plus years of preaching, I have never preached on Jesus is the Son of Man. So we're going to jump into that today. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you and praise you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray, Lord, that for the next few moments, you will allow me to present your word in an uncompromised fashion. Lord, I praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's start with the scripture. And the word of God says in Matthew 16, starting with verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." We're just going to leave that right there. I'm going to move on with it, and somebody, I can't yell Jared this week. He is somewhere else. It goes on to say there, but what about you? And Jesus is saying, what do people say about me? What are they saying that I am? And then he says, but what about you? He asked, who do you say that I am? And of course, Simon Peter spoke up, because Simon Peter always spoke up. Simon Peter spoke up and he said, you're Messiah, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God. Who do you say that Jesus is? There's a lot of different answers. Hey, there we go. You're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God. So the title, the Son, today we're going to talk about the title, Son of Man. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. The Son of Man is a declaration. This is what we're going to talk about today. It's a declaration of his humanity, and it's also a declaration of his deity. More when he calls himself the Son of God about his deity, But we're going to talk about that dichotomy today a little bit. And actually, the last few times I've been up here, I've been more in the preachy mode. If you'll allow me today, I'm going to be kind of in that teaching mode a little bit more today. But the title, Son of Man, is a declaration of both humanity and it's of his deity. In Mark 10, verse 45, the Word of God says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So he refers to himself as the Son of Man. Jesus said that. And then in Luke 19, 10, the Word says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." You know, a lot of things Jesus does for us, but the number one thing that Jesus wants to do for us is to seek us out and to give us salvation if we have not received him as our Lord and Savior. That's the number one thing. Yes, he wants to heal us. Yes, he wants to provide for us. Yes, he wants to touch our minds and our bodies and our hearts and everything else. But the number one thing is Jesus wants to bring us back into fellowship with God the Father. Amen? No. Okay. Brandon, I gave you a dollar to say amen. Wherever you're at, I want it back. No. Listen, Jesus has a job, and he said he came to seek and save those that are lost. The Son of Man and the Son of God, Jesus uses both of those. And it's interesting to use both of them all back and forth in Scripture, the Son of Man and the Son of God. Because in the Son of Man, we realize something. It goes back to the virgin birth. The virgin birth is the answer to how Jesus can be fully God and he can be fully man. He was both fully God and he was fully man, our perfect Lord and Savior. You see, Mary's humanity and God's deity came together through the Holy Spirit to create a unique, only begotten, which means one of a kind, person. And that's Jesus. Maybe some of you were like me when I first became a Christian, because I didn't really understand much about the Bible. I didn't understand much about Jesus. And I always had this picture of Jesus that he was this blue-eyed, blonde-haired, lily-white skin guy that walked around in pure white robes about that far above the surface of the ground, and he never got dirty, he never sweat, he never was sick, he never had problems, he never had anything go wrong. He just kind of hovered above everything. And no, anybody else have that picture of Jesus? Because all I could think of was Jesus as God, and I never thought of Jesus as man. And yet he said he's the Son of Man. So he was part man, he was totally man, and he was totally God. I can't get that. My mind can't comprehend it. And the reason my mind can't comprehend it is he was the only one ever like that. So there's no other comparisons. There's nothing I can compare it to. I mean, I can try. I mean, my last name is Mears. My dad was Mears. My mother was simpler. You say that explains a lot about you. Simpler. As we like to say, it was from French, so it's simple. But that's it. So I'm part simpler and I'm part Mears. There's times that I look in the mirror and I see my dad. There's times I look in the mirror and I see my mom. No beard or anything, but I see both. But with Jesus, he was 100% man, but he was 100% God. And if you try to figure that out, your head will explode. You just have to take it by faith that he was both. Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father, and he is the exact representation of, if you please, Adam, the first man. Both. Somebody said it this way. Jesus is God and man taking a selfie. They're both into one. He called himself the Son of Man more than anything else in the Bible. Matter of fact, the Son of Man is used around 85 times in Scripture. The Son of Man, more than any other title that's given to him. And of the 85 times, all but three of them is Jesus referring to himself, that he is the Son of Man. Stephen called him the Son of Man. I don't have the scripture up here, but Stephen called Jesus the Son of Man. Stephen was one of the disciples, and he was being killed. He was being stoned to death. And so as the people are throwing stones at him to kill him because he won't quit preaching Jesus, he just had this time where God just kind of appeared to him. And he said, the Bible says in Acts 7:56, Stephen there, as he's being pummeled by these stones, he said, "Look, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God." The Son of Man, it refers to the nature of God. What do you mean it refers to the nature of God? It's used for this purpose, to show his nature. The contrast of everything that goes on in the life of Jesus, he wants the people to know he is every bit them, every bit of it. There's a couple of other titles. Like I said, the Son of God, which is his divine nature. The Son of David, which depicts his nature through the Jewish heritage, but not just through the Jewish heritage, but also through the Gentile heritage. And it's important to know with the Son of David is similar to the Son of Man, that Jesus' heritage, it's screwed up, folks. I mean, there were murderers, there were thieves, there were prostitutes, there were all kinds of things in the lineage of Jesus. Why did he do that, do you think? Because he wanted not only to show you that he's every bit human, but his heritage is just as messed up as any of us could ever be. And so whatever your background is, wherever you come from, know this, you are not too bad for Jesus because there's someone just like you in his heritage and just like me in his heritage. Jesus kind of was a compilation of everything there. So he was the Son of David, and then he was the Son of Man. And someone said this, that's his racial name. What do you mean his racial name? He was from the race mankind, as we all are. From the race mankind. So every person out there is covered by the Son of Man. So let's go through this again. We'll repeat some of this. But number one, he is human. He is human. Everything about him is human. And we're going to go through some scriptures here. In Hebrews 2:14, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. Jesus had a human body, okay? I always thought, again, like he just hovered above the earth and nothing ever really affected him. So that when he was beaten and scorned and the crown of thorns on his head and everything else, it really didn't bother him too much because he was God. That's wrong. He felt every ounce of pain. And we'll get into that in just a moment. The scripture also says in John 19:28, Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." I don't know if God gets thirsty, but man gets thirsty. Man gets thirsty a lot. Matthew 4:2, he said he was hungry. And then in John 4:6, Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. I never pictured Jesus as getting tired. I just thought, again, he's God. So how can he get tired? But he wants you to know that everything about you, he has. Jesus had a human mind. What do you mean he had a human mind? Well, let's look at the scripture. Luke 22:44. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly until his sweat were like drops of blood falling to the ground. You ever been in anguish? You ever been so distraught that your prayers just seem like it's a strain and you're putting everything you can into it, that the anguish is overwhelming? I've been there more than once. And when you get to that place, one of the number one things that we do is we think nobody has ever experienced this pain that I'm going through. Nobody has ever experienced this anguish that I'm going through. And when we start doing that, then we can't rely on our Savior because He doesn't know what's going on. But we can rely on Him because He was a man. He talks about His human soul and emotions. And not spirit, they're human soul and emotions. In Matthew, did I have that out? I love technology. And human soul emotion, I didn't put the scripture in there. Matthew 26, 38, I apologize. And He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." So He talked about the soul. He talked about the emotional thing of being so overwhelmed that nobody else knew about. He was just overwhelmed. Maybe you're here today and you feel overwhelmed and you feel like there's no need. I need to give up. I just need to stay. Jesus has been there and He got the victory over that. He felt emotional pain. In emotional pain in Luke 22, 56, this man was with Him, but He denied Him. There was there was Peter, and Jesus had told him before the crow, crows three times, "You're going to deny me three times." And he's warming himself by a fire as Jesus is being tortured and put on the cross and all of that. And finally, this girl comes up to him and she says, "That's one of His disciples. He was with Him." And Peter says, he denied it. He said, "Woman, I don't know Him." He said, "How'd you like to have one of the closest people to you say, I don't know that guy?" Right when you're in your most desperate time. Have you ever had a friend, a relative, a loved one, a spouse deny you and not want anything to do with you anymore? Some of you have been through that. And some of you have been hurting because of that for maybe a long time. Jesus knew what it was like. He went through emotional pain so that you could have freedom, so that you could get through that. He went through all of those emotional pains. He understood those things. "And now my computer doesn't want to do anything." There we go. Let's go to another scripture. "And when His family heard about this, they went to take charge of Him, and they said, 'He's out of His mind.'" How'd you like to be told, "Don't worry about him, he's out of his mind"? Some of my families probably thought, I know some of them thought it when I was going in the ministry. What is wrong with you? You will not be able to put food on the table. You will not be able to provide. What do you mean you're gonna go away to school in Tennessee? Are you, just go local. They don't offer anything at Del Tech that will help me get into ministry here, okay? And I thought, people thought I was crazy with that. Jesus, when He's starting His ministry, things are just starting. And they're saying, "That's just that carpenter's son." His family said, "Don't worry, he's crazy. We'll talk to him for you. Don't hurt him. We'll talk to him for you." Jesus knew that emotional pain. And the final one I want to talk about, Judas. He approached Jesus to kiss Him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying me, the Son of Man, with a kiss?" Judas was getting ready to turn Him into his torturers. This was, again, one of His 12. This was one of His close-knit group that was ready to stab Him in the back at that moment. Some of you have been through that, and you know the hurt, you know the pain of that. You know the physical pain that can bring, all the stuff there. So that's the next one, physical pain. And I'm sure in the weeks to come, you're going to hear more about this as we get closer and closer to Easter. But Isaiah 53, verse 5, "He was pierced for your transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wounds, we are healed." In Mark 15, 17, "They dressed Him in a purple robe. They wove thorns of branches. They wove thorn branches into a crown, and they put it on His head. And they saluted Him and taunted, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they struck him on the head with a reed stick. They spit on him. And they dropped to their knees in mock worship of him. When they finally were tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and they put on his own clothes on him again. And they led him away to be crucified. Listen, Jesus knew what it was like to suffer. I would say beyond any of us have ever imagined. Some of you have been through some rough things in life. Some of you have been through a lot of pain. Some of you have been through pain that I can't imagine. I was laughing this morning. This time, on this date last year, I wasn't thinking about you folks at all. Matter of fact, I wasn't thinking about anything. I was under anesthesia, and I was getting my knee replaced on this day last year. So, and I remember the pain of that in the recovery time and all of the stuff that went on with that. And I got to tell you, it doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of what Jesus went through for you and I. So every bit human, he felt every bit of that pain. God did not block his son from feeling any of it. He felt all of it. And one of the things that I believe that the enemy wants to put pain on you in, and he wanted to put pain in Jesus, is this. Living in pain can distract you from your purpose. Living in pain can distract you. The enemy did not want Jesus to provide salvation for us. He would prefer to keep it the Old Testament way and us have to repair and go before a priest and continue to be called back to God over and over again, failing. But Jesus once and for all paid the price. And I got to tell you, when you're in pain, one of the things we want to do is retreat. That's when you need to reach out to other people because your pain can distract you. Let the body of Christ, let your small group, let your church minister to you and help you. But we can't do it if you don't reach out. And if you're not in that small group, they're not going to know. You need to do those things. So we talked about he's human. He is also God. Not only is the Son of Man 100%, but he's also 100% God. He's not just 100% man. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. You know, again, it's kind of like that picture of Jesus walking above the earth and no dirt getting on him and not having a bad day and everything was sunshine and roses. We also glamorize the birth of Jesus. He was born in a manger and all the manger scenes are so beautiful. The hay is so wonderful. Everything is just lovely. It was a stable. Folks, I was born on a farm. We raised chickens, we had cows, we had pigs. Every year, my dad had a rule. The first week of March, we are going to muck the stalls. Anybody know what muck the stalls mean? It means you get a pitchfork and you get a shovel and you clean out the stables. And no, you're not cleaning out sawdust. You clean out the stables. And it was always the first week of March, which was always great because some years that fell on my birthday. And I can remember shoveling stuff and my dad saying, "Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you." Jesus was born in a dirty stable. Which is fitting, because when I accepted Jesus Christ last week, I told you the other week, don't applaud, you do it. I'm not doing it for applause. But last week, I celebrated 50 years of serving Jesus on the 26th. 50 years of being a Christian. And you know what happened 50 years ago? Jesus was born in a dirty stable of my heart that was filthy and rotten. And that's where the Savior came, and he transformed it. And made it something new. I like to say something beautiful because the Bible says that we're beautifully and fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? Look at yourself and say, "I'm beautiful." You, I'm talking, not me. You don't have to. He is God, okay? So again, he's 100% man and he's 100% God, uniquely blended together. He is God. He is perfect. Jesus is perfect. Absolutely perfect. Let's look in Hebrews. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. He did not sin. He knows we're not. Well, he knows we're not. That's not part of the scripture. That goes to this one. We are not. He is perfect, and he knows that we are not perfect. He was tempted in every way, every way. Sometimes you think, you know, I don't know how I can never overcome this temptation. Well, with that attitude, you can't. But with Jesus, you can. You see, he went through it already for every one of us. He is perfect. We are not. But the neat thing about this is, in Hebrews, it goes on to say, let us approach God's throne of grace, unmerited favor, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Amen. I thank God that when I'm struggling, when I'm going through things, that I can go right straight to God. And he has mercy and he has grace for me. He is perfect. We are not. And then the last of the points, he understands. He understands. Let's read the scripture here. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. He had to become man in order to pay the price for my sin, for your sin, for the sinful nature of mankind. It was a man that blew it in the Garden of Eden. And it had to be a man to pay the price, or God would not be a just God. And he said, you know what? I'm going to give up glory. I'm going to give up my position here. And I will be there for man. I will be there for mankind. Jesus understands us. He understands when you doubt. He understands when you want to give up. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. My God, why have you forsaken me? And if it be possible, that this cup pass from me. Let it be so, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He knew what it was like to struggle. He knew all of those things. Jesus understands you. Jesus understands you. So listen, first seek to understand Jesus and who he is. And once you do that, you'll be understood by him. You see, it's not about me, it's about him. And when I seek to understand who God is, that he is the Son of Man, that he is the Son of God, that he lived this earthly life just like me. He was hungry, he was thirsty, he had doubts, he had struggles, he had all of those things. He was tempted like you and me. But he got through it and he laid his life down for us. Listen, Christ is both the Son of God and the Son of Man equally. I know I've said that several times, but I want you to get it. He's got a divine nature, a human nature. He is both resident in one person. To be the Son of God means possessing all of the divine attributes. To be the Son of Man means that he possesses all the human qualities, all the human traits, yet in perfection. Since the dawn of civilization, I read this the other day, there's been about 60 billion people that have walked the face of the earth, planet Earth. And only a handful of those 60 billion have made a lasting impression. Think about it. They've actually changed the world. Of that handful of people, there's one who stands head and shoulders above everybody else, and that is Jesus. More attention has been given to him, more devotion, more criticism, more adoration, more opposition have been given to this one person than all others combined. Every recorded word that has been said, every word that Jesus has said, has been sifted through, has been analyzed, has been scrutinized, has been debated. More than all else, every historian and philosopher and scientist put together, they have not had the scrutiny that Jesus' words have had. And yet the word of God continues to flourish. There have been people that have sought to disprove the word of God and have ended up getting saved because they've read the word of God. That's happened more than once. Yet, here we are, 2,000 years ago, and after 2,000 years, there's never 1 minute on the earth when someone's not studying the word of God and the words that Jesus said. Think about it. Here's a person that lived in a minuscule, tiny little land 2 millennia ago, and yet his birth divides the centuries from AD to BC. He never wrote a book, and yet library after library is filled with multiplied volumes about Jesus. He never painted a picture, but some of the most beautiful artwork in history portrays God and portrays Jesus. He never wrote music, yet scores of not just Christian music, but formal music, classic music has been written about Jesus. He never raised an army, yet multiplied people have died in service to Jesus. He never traveled far from his birthplace, yet his testimony goes around the world, the Son of Man. He only had a handful of followers, and yet today about 30% of the world's population calls Jesus their Lord. He only ministered 3 short years in public ministry. Yet here we are, over 2,000 years later, saying, Jesus, your name is wonderful. Because it is. He had no formal education. He didn't attend university or seminary. And yet numerous universities were started as Bible schools. Historian by the name of Kenneth Latourette said this, Jesus has more effect on the history of mankind than any other person that ever existed. To explain Jesus, as I've tried to do today, to explain Jesus is impossible in totality. To ignore Jesus is disastrous. To reject him is fatal. To understand Jesus Christ, you got to know him in order to love him. To love him, you've got to trust him. And to trust him, you've got to be radically, dramatically, and eternally changed and transformed. The human mind is too small to comprehend the height and the depth of Jesus. The human heart can never really, totally absorb everything that Christ is. And I don't think we will until we step on that other side. But let me close with these 3 scriptures. Well, we'll go with one of them. Matthew 12:40. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He prophesied his resurrection. He told the people, I'm going to rise again after 3 days. I'm always surprised at the disciples. He told them constantly, you know, these parables and other things. And he tells them, look, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to suffer at the hands of the religious people, the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they're going to end up killing me. But after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And on that Easter Sunday, just the women folk went there. And they didn't go there to see him alive. They went there with spices and stuff to anoint his dead body. That's what they went there for. I don't understand. Jesus said, I'm going to rise again on the third day. They should have had bleachers out there. You know, popcorn, peanuts. He prophesied his resurrection. And the last thing he said, the Son of Man will return in the clouds of glory. He prophesied that he's coming back. And I got to tell you, folks, we don't talk a whole lot about it all the time. And I'm not a big prophecy guy and all of that. But when I look at the world that we're in today, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. If you would, I would like for you just for a moment, just bow your head. I want to ask you a question. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know this Jesus? Do you know him in the fullness of who he is? Do you know him as a man who identifies with you? Maybe you thought you weren't good enough to follow him. Maybe you thought you've done too many bad things. Maybe you thought that he doesn't understand you. He understands you. He knows you. He knows who you are. Do you know this Jesus? I need you to know him. I need you to know him. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, anybody here this morning, I just want you to raise your hand real quickly. Say, Pastor, that's me. Amen. Anybody. I need to know this Savior. I need to know this Lord. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I have struggled in my faith, even believing that Jesus cared about my pain. He cared about my suffering. He cared about what I'm... I just feel like a loser sometimes because of what I'm going through. And I didn't really understand that Jesus already paved the way and he went through it for me. If that's you, would you just lift your hand real quickly? I want to pray for you. Anybody? Amen. Father God, I just thank you today and praise you. I thank you for being the Son of Man. I thank you for being 100% human and 100% God. Lord, help us every day. Help us, Lord, to follow after you. Help us, Father, to live for you and not waste the great thing you did for us. I thank you and I praise you in the name of the Son of Man, Jesus.